Morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to read just a few verses of the scriptures, words of invitation and life, and words of warning from the Apostle Paul. Here are the words from the Epistle to the Romans written by Paul. He says this: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Oh, friends, where is there power like this to wash the Spirit, to cleanse our motives, to make us fresh and clean in the sight of a holy and a pure God? Friends, why do you despise God's kindness, God's patience, God's goodness, His wonderful forbearance? Why, friends, do you harbour for yourselves treasure up against the day of judgment, anger for the day to come? Come to Christ. In Him is the power to wash us and to cleanse us and to change us, to make us what we're not today, to give us a new birth and a new heart and a new spirit. What is so precious about sin that for it you'll exchange eternity? What is so valuable about godlessness that for it, friends, you'll ruin your soul, damage your eternal destiny, make yourself accursed and hated by God? What is the benefit, friends, of chasing after the pleasures of the flesh, chasing after the senses, ruining your eternal destiny and making yourself an outcast and an exile from God? Here is what the Apostle Paul says: "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Friends, where is there such power on the earth? Power to take an alcoholic away from his drink. Power to shatter the chains of drug addiction. Power to straighten out a homosexual. Power to give a Muslim wisdom and humility. Power, friends, to make the proud and the selfish humble and gentle-hearted. Here is the power of God unto salvation. What have you done with that treasure, friends? What have you done with that promise? What have you done, friends, with that warning against your own soul? What have you done, friends, with the clear commandments of the living God? What have you done, friends, with His grace and His patience and His kindness? You're frittering away your days as though there was no tomorrow, as though there was no hell to dread, as though there was no day of judgment, no audit of the soul to come, no living God watching and weighing your motives, seeing everything you say and do. Oh, friends, come to the cross. In the Lord Jesus Christ there is the love of God and the patience of God. Paul goes on to say this: "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." Here there are no exclusions. Doesn't matter what you've been, what you've done, go to the cross, and in that cross you'll find liberty. Liberty from selfishness. Liberty from the power of sin, from the power of lust. Friends, we celebrate ourselves as free men, but the reality is we're slaves. Slaves to our own fleshly natures. Slaves to our tempers. Slaves to our own deceitfulness. Oh, friends, where is there liberty like the liberty found at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Here, in the cross, in the message of salvation, is cleansing from sin. Cleansing from that which God hates, that which curses us, that which separates us from the holiness of God. By nature, friends, we go astray. You don't need to teach a child to lie, to steal, to cheat. By nature, we have PhDs in this ability. By nature, friends, we're experts in sinning. By nature, it comes naturally to us to be perverse and iniquitous. By nature, we're stained and tattooed with sin, with selfishness. But in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is power to cleanse us, power to wash us, power to make us what we are not today, but what we ought to be. In Christ is the power of the cross to deliver us and to wash us and to cleanse us from the inside. Friends, why do you despise wisdom? Why do you despise holiness? Here is the root of real happiness. Here's the solid foundation for lasting peace. A peace that can look at death and smile, as the martyrs did, as so many of our forebears have done. Why are we terrified by death today, friends? Because we harbour sin. Because we cherish godlessness. Because we're not prepared for the end of life. Because we don't know its purpose. We don't know its glory. Oh, friends, why are you throwing away your spirit? Why are you wounding your eternal heart, your eternal destiny? Why, friends, have you made God your enemy? Why have you transgressed His laws, violated His precious commands? What is the benefit of godlessness, friends? What harvest does it reap for you? What benefit will it bring at the end of your life when you must face Him, face to face? Seek the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the great Saviour of sinners, one who humbled himself to lift us up from the grave, the cesspool of the sin of this present and evil generation. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the one who would wash us and cleanse us and bless us. What is the benefit, friends, of chasing after sin, chasing after the flesh, indulging our senses? In Christ is the power to wash us and deliver us. Why throw away your eternal spirit? Why live like a pauper, like an ostrich with your head in the sand, ignoring the glory of your spirit, ignoring the purpose of your life, ignoring the call of conscience and the voice of the living God, ignoring his commands and his invitations? Oh, friends, come to wisdom. Come to grace. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. What is the purpose of your life if it's not lived for the glory of God? Not lived for his truth and for his wisdom. Not lived out to please him and to love him. Oh, friends, such a life is the life of a pauper. Why? Your debts rise up above your heads. Your soul is stained. Your heart is smeared with sin. Why don't you come to the cross? Why don't you come to the Messiah? In him is life. Life to breathe spiritual strength and integrity back into a dead and corrupt spirit. Oh, friends, what is the benefit of a selfish, cold, hardened heart, ungrateful to God for his mercies, ungrateful to God for his patience? What is the benefit, friends, of living for the here and now, living just for the senses? Wake up to his grace and his kindness while he's still near at hand, for his sake. Have a chat to my friend over there. Have a chat to my friend. I'm not going to stop. Okay, bye-bye now. Again, friends, the words of the Apostle Paul. He says this: for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men. How does God look at us this morning in Croydon? God is angry with sin. He has an argument against us. He sees our lives, our thoughts, our motives, our inward desires, and he's angry. He's indignant. Why have you wasted your spirit? Why have you wasted your life? Why have you ruined your prayer life? Why have you stained your conscience? Why, friends, have you thrown away everything? God is angry with us for sin. He's given us his commands out of his benevolence and his kindness towards us. And when we violate those great commandments, when we commit adultery, when we steal, when we cheat, when we lie, when we rob his glory, when we blaspheme his name, he's angry with us. He's indignant with us. We've insulted his glory. No more so than our government, friends, in framing this nonsense of gay marriage. In Christ is the way of return. In Christ is a fountain of life to those who seek him. Why, friends, would you indulge yet more in ungodliness? Where is the benefit of folly? Where is the outcome of godlessness? Where, friends, is the benefit in ingratitude to God? Where, friends, is the benefit of the destination you're headed for? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Here, friends, is the word. Thank you very much. In the Lord Jesus Christ, here, friends, is the way of return. There is the great fountain of cleansing for sin and uncleanness. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. Doesn't matter what you've done, what you've been. In him, friends, is the way of return. In the Lord Jesus Christ, that appointed Lamb of God is the only way by which sin can be washed away. You know, friends, young people make a mock at sin. They don't realise how deadly a disease it is, how ugly a cancer it is within us. But there is no disease worse than sin. No malady of the heart or of the body worse than our rebellion against the living God. And yet in Christ, here is free salvation. Here is God's mercy. Here's a fountain of life. And yet, what have you done with that gift? You've re-crucified him to yourselves afresh. You've suppressed the truth. You've believed a lie. You've embraced it with all your strength and heart. Friends, what is the benefit of that? Where is the outcome of trusting in a lie, building your life on quicksand, trusting, friends, in the fairy tale of evolution, believing that there is no God? Oh, friends, this is what the Apostle Paul says. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Friends, come, look at the evidence. Here is a complex book, and you say it was without an author. Here is a wonderfully designed machine, and you say it has no architect. Here's a marvellously crafted cathedral in every cell, and yet you say there is no architect. Oh, friends, come on, get real. What is this fairy tale of evolution? What is this man-made humanistic ideology which suppresses the truth of God? Why do we embrace an ideology we know in our hearts of hearts is false? There is a God, friends. There is a God who watches, who knows, who weighs, who sees us. We may suppress the truth in our hearts. We may try to pretend him out of existence, but sooner or later we will face him, face to face, law to law, judgment to judgment, his reasonings against our reasonings. And how can you stand? He is a consuming fire. Oh, friends, he's vindicated himself very amply. We will not have a leg to stand on. We won't have an excuse when we stand before him. In Christ is the way of return. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is God's pleading for us. Oh, friends, before it's too late, wash your sins away. Do away with your iniquity. Soften that hardened heart. Seek out the truth and wisdom before it's too late. Cease your excuses. Oh, friends, stop that mocking tongue. Seek out the truth. God has laid out his case very, very plainly for us. He's vindicated his name and his honour and his glory very plainly in his own words. Seek him, friends. Turn to him for life, for grace, while there's still opportunity. Don't throw away your eternal spirit. Don't throw away those gracious opportunities. Let me ask you solemnly now, what are you going to do with tomorrow morning? How are you going to waste tomorrow morning if it's not hearing the scriptures, seeking his face? What are you going to waste your time on? How are you going to corrupt your spirit? How are you going to wound your heart? How are you going to make yourself ever the more ready for hell and for judgment? Friends, seek out the truth now. Don't leave it for another month. Don't leave it for another year. This is a deadly serious matter. We've laid out before you this morning and many times before, life and death, cursing and blessing. Which will it be? In the Lord Jesus Christ. There and there alone is the way of return. Don't throw away your spirit. Don't throw away your heart. Oh, friends, in Christ there is a fountain of life, a fountain of cleansing for the unclean. There's no one here who can't come and wash and be changed. And yet the sad thing is, for so many of you, you curse him, you trample him underfoot, you re-crucify him to yourselves afresh. You say to yourselves, well, if Christ was amongst us, we'd follow him, we'd listen to him. But the reality is far different. Your own words, your own tongues bear witness it's otherwise. You'd re-crucify him to yourselves afresh even this morning. You cannot bear the truth. But in Christ, there is a solid and an unchanging witness against us. A witness to us of the way of pardon, a witness against us, friends, if we reject it, of the nature of his justice, the nature of his unswerving integrity and purity. God will be true, even though every man lies, every man exaggerates. Friends, he warns us, he calls us, he invites us. He offers to us a clean heart and a washed spirit. If anyone says he has no sin, he's deceiving himself. What kind of fool says he's fit to go to heaven? What kind of dupe says his heart is pure? Oh, friends, our society is sinful and adulterous, ruined and tainted and stained by sin. We're in desperate need of salvation, in desperate need of cleansing, and yet we close our eyes, seal over the blinkers, superglue the shutters down, and we will not hear his truth. Friends, let me encourage you this morning. Go to a church where you hear repentance explained. Go to a church where you hear about the exposure of sin. Don't content yourselves with having your ears tickled. Go to a place, friends, where they explain to you the grace of self-denial, the gift of salvation, the gift of deliverance from sin, not merely the excusing or plastering over it. Go to a place, friends, where you hear sin explained and exposed and uprooted. Go to a place, friends, where you hear the nature of God's wisdom and his righteousness. Go to a place where you hear about holiness. Don't content yourselves, friends, with shallow, empty, futile words. In Christ, there is the great Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Oh, friends, what excuse will you have in the day of days? Ezekiel the prophet puts it this way. He says, the man who hears the trumpet of warning and yet shuts his ear, his blood shall be upon his own head. Where will you stand, friends, in the day of judgment? You've heard about the cross. You've heard about the way of peace. You've heard about how to have your sins washed away. And yet you've still hardened your heart. friends, who would weep for you? What a tragic state to be in. What a mess you've made of your spirit and your heart. Seek him and turn to him while there's still opportunity. Go to him for his grace and his love and his kindness while he's still near at hand. In the cross, there is the great turning place. There is the fountain of life and cleansing for us. Seek him while he may still be found. Go to him for life and for grace. I'd like to read you two words of the Apostle Paul where he says this: professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Oh, friends, he's speaking particularly of Greek philosophy, but it could so well be said of the experts of our generation. Professing ourselves to be wise, we've become fools. Fools when it comes to bringing up a child in integrity and godliness. Fools when it comes to keeping a marriage together. Fools when it comes to bringing up a righteous and a godly generation. Professing themselves to be wise, your Dr. Spocks and all that nonsense, oh friends, we've become fools. We've lost the skill of rearing up families. We've lost the skill of keeping a marriage holy and happy. We've lost the skill of raising up our children in wisdom and integrity. Even our schools are a fountain of vice and uncleanness. Even, friends, the school playground has become a cesspool of sin. What a mistake. What a grave mistake, friends, we've made with our generation. What a terrible heritage we've left for our children and grandchildren. Because we've hated God, we've rejected his commandments, and we've turned aside from his grace. It's not too late to return. Seek him. Go to him for life and for grace. Go to a church, friends, where you hear about the Bible, where you hear about repentance, where you hear about the exposure of sin, where you hear about wisdom and godliness, where you hear the treasures of the banquet of his grace laid out before you. Oh, friends, don't go to a church where it's all cream and milk and honey, all flattery and no substance, all cream but no meat. Go to a church, friends, where you hear the scriptures explained and unfolded. Go to a place where you hear about the grace of self-denial, the work of the cross, the gift of the new birth, the grace of salvation. Oh, friends, what are you going to do with tomorrow morning? Wasted again reading those smutty Sunday supplements, googling on the internet some new fritter, some new triviality? In the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's still an opportunity, still a foothold, still a place of return. Don't throw away wisdom. Don't throw away your future. Don't throw away the eternal inheritance. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. The Apostle Paul goes on to say this: they have changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man. And so we have, friends, we worship Mother Nature as though Mother Nature created itself. What nonsense. What absolute gut rot. Oh, friends, we believe the book of the creation of all the universe has no author. We believe the machine of the cell has no engineer. We believe that the cathedral of every living mechanism has no architect. What nonsense. What empty-headed gut rot, friends. What future generations will look at our generation and they'll say, how could they believe such nonsense? The only answer is we preferred our sin rather than righteousness. We preferred to suppress the truth of the creating God. We preferred to say there is no God, no holiness, no righteousness, no meaning to life, rather than acknowledge our sin. What a dreadful state of affairs, friends. What a dreadful state of affairs we've fallen to. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for light. Ask him for understanding. Ask him to open up your blind eyes. Ask him for a softened heart. Oh, friends, what are you doing with your spirit? What have you done with your conscience? What have you done with your future? What have you done with your eternity? Wake up and seek him while there's still opportunity. Go to him for grace and for life while he's still near at hand. The words of the apostle, he says this: wherefore God also gave them up. You know, that's what he's doing with our society today. He says, okay, you don't want to know about my laws. You don't want to know about the restraints. You don't want to know about the grace of God and the purpose of life. Then I'll give you over. That is precisely what he's doing with our society today. He's giving us over to a corrupt and unclean spirit. Why do you think homosexuality abounds in our society? The scripture gives a very plain reason. He's giving us up to our own lusts, giving us over to deceitful and corrupt imaginations. Here is what the Apostle Paul says: God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own spirits, to dishonour their bodies amongst themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. What is evolution, friends? It's a lie. It's an adult fairy tale. It's a humanist myth. Look at it. Look at it carefully. Look at it scientifically. Notice how people reason when they discuss evolution with you. When you know a little bit of the evidence, when you know a little bit of the data, they begin to accuse you of being biased or prejudiced. They begin to throw epithets at you. They charge you with ad hominems. Oh, friends, evolution is a seductive lie. It's a beguiling spell. Who has beguiled you that you should not obey the truth? There is a God. There is a creator. There is a designer. There is an architect who knows us and searches us and calls us to communion with himself. Yet what have we done with him, friends? We've trampled him underfoot. We've neglected his laws and his commands. We've neglected the gift of repentance. We've neglected the grace of the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, friends, what remains but for us to be given over to our own lusts? Again, the Apostle Paul says this. They changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Friends, what have you done with the Creator? What have you done with the designer? What have you done with the great architect? The one who knows us. The one who knows us better than we know ourselves. The one who knows the frail bounds of our constitution and our dust. The one who sets the day of our death. The one who appoints for us the day of our birth and the day of our end. What have you done with God? What have you done with his commands? What have you done with his invitations? Seek him. Read his word. He lays out his arguments so plainly, so clearly to us. In Christ, there is the very heart of God's purpose and his mind. In the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is God's love and kindness unveiled to us. Friends, don't despise his patience or your face's anger. Your face's judgment. Seek him while he may still be found. Go to him for life and for grace. Read the scriptures for yourselves. For in him and in him alone is life and grace and cleansing. Again, friends, here are the words of the apostle. When they changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature, what did God do to them? For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, and served the creature, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, disgusting and disgraceful in the sight of the living God. Here is the root of homosexuality, that we have despised the Creator and God has given us over to lusts and uncleanness, vile and despicable lusts, things that God hates, things that God sees are vile. But oh, friends, in a way he's giving us a visual aid to show us how vile our own society's stance has been. Friends, we need his washing. We need his cleansing. We need his grace, and you can only find it in the cross. You can only find his power to save the spirit in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no one but the Lamb of God who can wash us. No one but the Lord Jesus Christ who paid the penalty of sin in his own body on the cross. Friends, you think you can face God's judgment in your own credit, in your own account? Stand before him as you are today. Friends, you'll perish. He is a consuming fire in his brightness. His holiness cannot be compromised. His justice demands death for sin. But in Christ, there is life. There is the gift, the free gift of life to those who seek him, to those who kill the old man, to those who in Christ live a new heart, with a new heart and a new birth. Seek him and turn to him. Oh, friends, here is the call of the living God. He says this, why will you die? Turn you. Turn you, for why will you die? What is the benefit of sin? What is the benefit, friends, of lying against God? What is the benefit of sex outside of marriage? What is the benefit of sodomy? What is the benefit of following a government that's framing laws that themselves are iniquitous? In Christ, there is the way of peace. There is the way of purity. There is the way of cleansing. Doesn't matter how vile, how filthy, how stained you are this morning. Go back to the cross, and in him you find life and cleansing. Go to him, friends, for his sake and in his name. Amen. Amen.
David.
Bless you, Brother Charles.
Friends, like to read just a few verses from the New Testament, words of invitation and words of warning. Hear the words of the writer to the Hebrews. He says this: marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled. Marriage is a great gift, very precious institution, something sacred, an ordinance laid out before us by the living God, created and ordained for a happy and an established family order. And yet, friends, the apostle or the writer goes on to say this: marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled, but those who are sexually impure and adulterers, God will judge. Let's be very clear about this, friends. Violating this sacred ordinance of marriage is something offensive and wrong in the sight of God. Those who are sexually impure and adulterers, God will judge. Friends, we cannot escape this reality. God sees us. He knows us. He knows the way we spend our thoughts. He knows, friends, the heart's desires. He knows what we're really like in our hearts. He's laid out for us and provided for us this sacred institution of marriage. Something vital, something holy, something precious. But whoremongers, that is, those who are sexually impure and adulterers, God will judge. Oh, friends, it couldn't be clearer. Solomon, the great king of wisdom, says this: he who commits adultery gains a wound to his spirit. It brings a reproach upon his own soul. Adultery wrecks and ruins our society. It spoils the family. It wrecks the intimacy between a man and his wife. It spoils and it wrecks and it ruins our society. Adultery is a great wound in the side of a family. Oh, friends, and yet we celebrate the things that God hates. We lift up and exalt the things that God calls debased. The Lord Jesus said to his own generation, this is a sinful and adulterous generation. How much more so with our own? Marriage is honourable. Oh, friends, if you're young, get married. Don't live outside of marriage in sin. Don't, friends, sleep around with friends and boyfriends and girlfriends. Don't, friends, waste away your spirit. Ruin your future family life. Make yourself coarse and brutish in the sight of God. Don't make yourself a slave of the flesh. Marriage is something precious and sacred, given to us by the living God. And yet, friends, our present government has decided to change marriage, to change the very bedrock of society. Only yesterday the bill was published, an extraordinary bill, but that internationally renowned homophobe David Blunkett says is a complete dog's dinner of a bill. And so it is. Oh, friends, gay marriage is an insult to God. It's an offence to God. It's something deeply out of order, something deeply iniquitous and wrong. It's something God hates. Oh, friends, it's going to bring great ruin. It'll bring a great curse upon our society. It'll wreck our future family lives. We need to go back to Christ. We need to go back to his word. We need to go back to his wisdom. We need his grace and his power and his blessing. Why, friends, would you harden your hearts against the mercy and the kindness of the living God? Here again, the words of the apostle or the writer to the Hebrews, he says this: marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled. Here is something precious. Here is something sacred. And oh, friends, even though our present society defiles it and rejects it, marriage is the bedrock of our society. It's something vital. Living in sin is no excuse, friends. It leads to a great damage to our society. Rips up the family. Ruins the children. Why is our present generation of children so feral, so foolish, so careless, so brutish, so godless? Why, friends? Look to the root. Marriage is something provided to us, for us, by God. A provision for a happy and a stable home. And yet we've neglected the standards of God. Played with our children like guinea pigs. Cheated them. Robbed them of their own treasures for the future. What a mistake, friends, to despise marriage. To live in sin. It ruins us. It wrecks us. It weakens the conscience. It makes us coarse and brutish. And it angers God. It makes us enemies to the living God. Wake up, friends, before it's too late. Wake up to his wisdom and to his grace. Marriage is honourable in all, and a bed undefiled. But adulterers and those who are sexually impure, God will judge. Friends, we need to be washed. We need to be cleansed. We need a new heart and a new spirit. We need that gift of holiness and strength from above. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the power to wash us and to bless us. Again, the words of the apostle, he says this, marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled. But those who are sexually impure, those who have sex outside of marriage, and adulterers, God will judge. Couldn't be plainer. He will judge us, friends. We smash his laws, we reject him, we turn them behind our back. He will judge us. He'll judge us as individuals, as families, and as a society. If we go ahead with this bill to sanctify gay marriage, if we go ahead with this abomination which God hates, God will judge us. God is insulted by the way that we deviate from his word and his law. We need his grace. We need his mercy. And yet, friends, we're adding sin upon sin, defiling his name and breaking his laws. What a big mistake, friends, to harden our hearts, to harbour in our hearts hostility towards the Most High. We need his grace and we need his mercy. Seek him while he may be found and go to him for life and for grace. I'd like to read to you two words of the prophet Jeremiah, words of pleading and words of warning to us this afternoon. He said this, "For thus hath the Lord said, for my people is foolish, they have not known me. They're foolish children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." Oh, friends, he knows us. He searches us. He weighs us. He watches us. He calls us and he invites us. But what have we done with his wisdom? What have we done with his call? What have we done with his promises and his life? What have we done, friends, with that tremendous inheritance of life and grace given to us in the cross and through his Son? Here is the indictment of the prophet. He says, they are foolish, wise to do evil, but foolish when it comes to doing good. So naive, so careless when it comes to bringing up children in a godly way. So foolish when it comes to keeping a marriage holy and happy. So reckless when it comes to learning discernment and spiritual understanding. So reckless when it comes to prayer, unable to do good, but wise to do evil. What an indictment of our generation. Friends, we need wisdom. We need his grace. We need his understanding. Turn to him while there's still life. Let me encourage you, friends. Go along to a church where you hear something of the scriptures explained, of the wisdom of God and the kindness of God, something about an explanation of repentance, something of the way of godliness, something of the way of holiness. Go and find a place where you can hear these things explained, of the gift of God that leads us to eternal life, and of the death of sin. Oh, friends, what is so great about godlessness? What is so great about selfishness? What is so great about chasing after pleasures for their own sakes, that for them we'll ruin our families, ruin our children and our grandchildren, spoil the heritage of the future, wreck our own lives, spoil and sear our own conscience. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand, for his sake. Again, friends, the words of the prophet, he says this, "O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock." And so it is, friends, in our society, in our generation, we will not hear the voice of warning. We will not hear the call to repentance. We harden our hearts. We sear our consciences. We make ourselves base and foolish. We make ourselves slaves ever the more of our own lusts. Friends, what will be the outcome of such a life? What will be the outcome of sowing to the flesh as we've done these past generations? A harvest of corruption, a harvest of sorrow, a harvest of heartaches. Go back to the cross. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the great shepherd of the sheep, the one who has an eye for our benefit, for our welfare, the one who laid his own life down in order that we might live. In Christ, there, friends, is the great rescuer of sin. But for fools, for those who despise God and his grace and his mercy, what remains, friends, but indignation and cursing and a terrible desolation and regret? Oh, friends, look at our old people's homes, filled with those whose lives are broken and empty because they live for pleasure, live just for the here and now. Is that your life this morning? A kind of zombie existence, living for pleasure but dead while you still live? friends, go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to that author of life. Go, friends, to the Prince of Peace. In him is the author of solid happiness. In him, friends, is the real and the solid and the lasting peace. The peace that comes from justice. The peace that comes from a solidly founded reconciliation with God. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Jeremiah said of his own generation, they've made their faces harder than a rock. Friends, what a big mistake. To harden your heart in ingratitude. To seal your ears and never to hear the voice of warning. To hear God's call to repentance. God's call to mercy. God's call to life and to obedience. Why, friends, would you waste your life away in ignominy? Why would you waste your life away in folly, in ungodliness and uncleanness, only to be made ever the more fit only for hell and for judgment? Don't you see, friends, there will be a judgment. Those that now sleep in the dust shall arise, some to everlasting contempt and others to everlasting life. Where will you be after death? You don't know the grace of God. You don't know his power to bless and to wash. Seek him while he may still be found. Go to him for life and for grace. Oh, friends, a man could weep to see many of your lives, many of your homes, to see the outworking of sin and its corruption in your own life. Look what's happened to your conscience. Look what's happened to your heart. Look, compare yourselves with where you were only 10 years ago. More corrupt, more selfish, more foolish than you were before. Friends, in Christ, there is the way of deliverance. There is the way of light and grace. He and he alone has paid the blood price for sin. He and he alone, friends, has opened the way back into God's favour. By nature we're children of his anger, children of his indignation, under a curse, under his frown, as it were, living out our days under the terrible frown of God. He sees us, friends. He sees the waste we've made of our own spirits. He sees the desert we've made of our own prayer lives. He sees the great record of sin, the great debt that we owe to him for all that we are and all that we've been. Yet in Christ there is the way of return. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why, friends, would you indulge the more in sin? Why would you chase ever the more after lusts that defile and destroy the spirit, wreck your family, ruin your future, make you coarse and brutish in his sight? Turn to him for life. Turn to him for grace. Oh, friends, hear the words of the prophet Ezekiel. Turn you, for why will you die? God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the evil one should turn from his ways and live. In Christ, in the cross, there is life, there is righteousness, there is wisdom for the unclean and the foolish. What have you done with your spirit? What have you done with your conscience? Where are you going, friends, if you don't know the gift of God and that gift of peace? Oh, friends, what have you done with your heart? What have you done with the record that you ought to have lived out before God? Where is the virtue that he seeks? Where is that prayer life? Where is that life of communion and friendship? Where, friends, is that intimacy with God you ought to have had? By nature, we're enemies of God, children of his wrath, children of his curse. Oh, friends, it's sorry to say, but by nature, there's a broad path, and each of us is headed down towards destruction, towards banishment. Seek him and turn to him while there's still opportunity. The prophet Isaiah says this, seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he's still near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. What is the benefit of storing up anger against the day to come? What is the benefit of living out your life under the indignation of God? Cut off from the author of blessing. Cut off from blessing and light. Oh, friends, what is the benefit of clinging on to darkness? Of making excuses, pretending God out of existence, trying to make believe that he isn't there? Oh, friends, there is a judgment. There will be a resurrection. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Turn away from sin before it becomes your ruin. Again, the prophet Ezekiel says this, he that hears the trumpet's warning and yet carries on as he is, his blood shall be upon his own head. Oh, friends, this is not a light matter. We're not just playing games here this morning. Here is life and death, blessing and cursing for eternity. Here's the favour of God or his indignation. Seek him while he may be found. Go to him while there's still life. Turn away from sex outside of marriage. Turn away from deceit. Turn away, friends, from evil pleasures that snare the soul. Seek him and ask him for insight and for understanding while there's still opportunity. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is that glorious fountain opened up for sin and uncleanness. No sin so dark he can't wash it away. Whether sodomy or adultery or even murder or the worst of sins, he can wash it away. Seek him, friends. Turn to him for life and for grace. In the Lord Jesus Christ is one who is full of truth, but he's also full of grace. Grace to wash us. Grace to change us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no other place of cleansing, no other fountain which can deal with the iniquity of our sin, no other place, friends, by which the chains of lust can be broken, no other place by which the proud can be humbled, no other way place by which the alcoholic can leave behind his liquor, no other place where the drug addict can leave the chains of his sin forever, but the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the death of death in the death of Christ. Turn to him, friends, for life and for mercy, while he's still near at hand. Don't throw away your spirit. Don't throw away your eternity. Don't throw away your prayer life. Don't throw away that wonderful opportunity of a relationship with the living God. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. For his sake. Amen. Amen. Has Marcus left us?